lane. Crosses up Van Hoodle. Okie doke move and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get on a rebound. Kicks it out. Katie Sykes for three.
Got it.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Friends, enemies, and anyone that falls back in between, welcome back to another edition of the Red Zone here on WZND. I'm Leo Sauter, your sports director here at WZND, and we're back for another edition of the show. I'm joined by WZND's production director and the voice of the Quad City Storm, Mr. Joey Dwyer.
How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
Doing great. You know, I could not be more excited for a show tonight.
Hey, how about this
and just
weather? Am
energy.
I right?
This weather out here, man. You know, it might be a little weak. It might be a little bad, but I'm enjoying this week, and I'm excited to wrap things up on our senior night.
And the voice you just heard was our producer, Joe Kennedy. And as he alluded to, it is our senior night, so it'll be a bit of a different show than we normally do. This will be a little less sports. We'll still have some interviews, but not the interviews you're used to having. We'll have our two graduating seniors coming on the show, Mr. Jose Sandoval and Blake Hornstein, in just a little bit. Each of them will get to share some stuff about their journey here and their time at WZND.
Tears might be shed tonight.
There might be some tears.
Yeah.
There might be some tears.
And in between those, or around those, we'll have some Redbird recapping to do, and we'll finish things off with the pick six. But let's get into it, guys, because ISU basketball is fully back here. Both teams took some losses this week, but I'd say there are still positives to take away, both the women's and the men's team. The women's team fell to Purdue, and the men's fell to Murray State. So where should we start here?
Let's start with the men, just because I feel like there's a little less of a brighter future there.
Fair enough. No shade.
Oh yeah, no shade. Obviously, yeah.
But yeah, so they took on the Murray State Racers. That game was on Tuesday. They fell 77-65. We saw a slight fall off from the astronomical numbers that Antonio Reeves and Cy Chatman were putting up. But I still thought that the Redbirds men's team looked pretty good. They had a couple really bad turnovers in the first half that cost them. But overall, I don't think this was a game that you look at and you're like, oh, well, this is going to be the entire season. Because I thought the Redbirds really showed some promise.
I'd say the Eastern Michigan game on Friday was more of the game you shake your head about.
Blowing the
Murray State one, where you had a 16-point lead, couldn't preserve it. And then even just late in that game, it felt like their only option offensively was get the ball to Reeves and then nothing really else. That they just were having so many offensive breakdowns, and that was the frustrating part.
And they had the open shots too, and they just weren't able to get them in. And it was only Antonio Reeves, Leo, like you've been saying, that was really producing an open shot. And guys had opportunities, but they just weren't able to knock them down. And that was an interesting game, though. Double overtime, 103-98 against Eastern Michigan. Antonio Reeves being named the MVC Player of the Week. So shout out to him. There's been scouts in the stands watching him in that game against Missouri State as well, where Reeves maybe didn't put up the numbers he did in the first two games, but he still put up a lot in that one as well.
And to say he's not putting up numbers in that Missouri State game, I feel like is a little misleading.
I think I said that too.
The Murray State. It's hard. We're MVC guys. Yeah. But the Murray State game, Reeves still had 19 points. He led the team. So it's not like he had this huge fall off and was in the single digits. Same for Cy Chatman. He put up 14 points and 6 rebounds. So these two guys are really showing up for this Redbirds team. They just need a little bit of help around them. They had a lot of help from Mark Freeman, who also had 15. Mm-hmm. But then you look, there are only two other guys who scored any points. So not a whole lot of help. Freeman was the sixth man off the bench. But then Howard Fleming, who got the start, didn't score. And then nobody else on the bench did. So
yeah, it was kind of a smaller bench on that game against Murray State. It's just really Mark Freeman coming off with those 30 minutes. And then Liam McChesney, 9 minutes. Amon Washington, 5 minutes. And then Abdu Jai and Ryan Schmidt, only 1 minute each. And that was kind of interesting because, I mean, it's really early in the season. You're already playing a lot of minutes towards just about six guys, and that's going to affect them right now and towards the rest of the season.
And we've seen Mueller go through these trends before, too, as a coach, where sometimes he'll shorten his bench later in the season, or guys that are he's originally interested in, then he kind of phases them out. But I don't think we've ever seen it this early in the season, where somebody like Abdou Jai, that really confuses me, because he was playing meaningful minutes as a freshman, kind of saw his minutes decline last season, and now to see him play 1 minute in Tuesday night's game, that's the confusing thing for me, is how a player that, you know, should know Mueller's system by now, or be someone he relies upon, then all of a sudden goes to being so unused like that.
And it's weird, because typically, like you were alluding to, Leo, there's the reason that these teams play all these games before they get into the conference is to feel themselves out, right, and get to a spot where they're comfortable, so when they go into conference play, it's a super easy transition, and you know what you have. But in the case of the Redbirds right now, you're playing six guys basically, mm-hmm. right, like McChesney and Eamon Washington, they played single digit minutes. Like, that's not really going to show you everything that they have to offer. So when you're not dipping into your bench like that, it's I feel like it makes the decision a lot harder when it comes down to who are we going to play, who's going to be our guys. And when you're playing against some of these Valley teams, you're going to need your bench to be at least three guys deep.
And even coming up in these next couple of games, I mean, they got Bucknell, but then after that they got the Cancun Challenge, where they're facing St. Louis, a team in the Atlantic 10 that's one of the favorites in that conference, definitely could be in the NCAA March Madness and everything, even not winning the conference tournament that. And if they win that, they either got Stephen F. Austin or Buffalo. Buffalo's always been known as a good program, but Stephen F. Austin's a team that pretty much returns everyone after they beat Texas last year in the first round. So, I mean, they're already getting off to a pretty challenging schedule, I would say, compared to maybe in recent memory, I guess. I would put it that way. But, I mean, it's a good way to sharpen up before a tough Missouri Valley Conference season.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how exactly this shapes up, because then you got a couple games against Bucknell and Purdue Northwest where you're not going to learn anything from those. That's just
Put some respect on those Bison name, you know.
But no, it's going to be interesting. So we might still go through the non-conference schedule and not have an idea of what this men's team is. And I guess as we transition to the women's team here, it's still the same problems where we don't know what this team's identity is. Don't know when we're going to find it out, but it'll be interesting to see. I feel like the women's team, on the other hand, we kind of got more of an idea of who they are as a team. Even in a loss last night to Purdue, they showed a lot of fight. And I think there's a lot of positive takeaways to take from that. The first time a an opponent's been to Redbird Arena since 2016. And the women's team held their own against them, losing 76 to 64.
And they're kind of in the opposite position of the men's team, like you said, where the men's team were kind of sitting here like, oh, well, we don't know this team well enough. Who's going to get the minutes? We know on this Redbirds women's team who butters the bread, right? We know who the players are that are going to make this a successful team. Obviously, you have Juju Redmond and Maya Wong and Mary Crompton, who are all playing very
big
good.
Three,
but then Coach Gillespie is using her bench so effectively so far this season. Like, you have Kale Newland and you have Jada Stinson coming off, putting up over 20 minutes off the bench. And those are two players who have had excellent seasons so far. And they have so much widespread scoring. Only two players scoring in the double digits, but they had nine players put up points.
Yeah.
So they're in the complete opposite situation where you maybe don't have, aside from Juju Redmond, you don't have a player you can go to who is like the focus of your offense, but you have so many players you can rely on for points.
And yeah, you're talking about that and Deanna Wilson got into foul trouble pretty early last night. They had to go up against Rayshia Kyle for Purdue, 6'6", tallest player in the Big Ten Conference. And that was a struggle, especially at the beginning of the second half in the fourth quarter. They just were attacking Kyle, and then Deanna Wilson was kind of just forced to foul her, but Kyle was just making her free throws as well on the night. I'm pretty sure she was 6 or 6 from the line in that one. And Purdue just has some great players. They have a new head coach, first year. They're a former Purdue player herself. She was actually probably the best player of all time to come out of Purdue, 7th overall pick in 2007. And so that's a program-changing type of coach right there. She brings that energy, one of the best players. And they just had shooters in Purdue's squad with Abby Ellis, Madison Layden, both putting up over 18 points. But Illinois State did a good job. They were hanging in there. I mean, they really weren't, besides in the beginning, they're up 8-2. Then Purdue went on a big run with those two top players. They were hanging in there throughout the game, though.
I think that's a positive, as you were getting to it, Joe, that you know, they were trailing for 5 points for most of the game there, because you look at it at the final score, they lost by 12, but they were still competing in there. It felt close throughout the whole game, and I think that's where you could see they were playing a very good team but weren't overmatched there. Another huge takeaway I thought was the evolution of Maya Wong last night, where she was only 4-for-10 from the field, but you looked at her facilitating the ball and kind of running things. She looked like a competent player playing against some really good players in Purdue.
No, and Maya, she got to the line, 6 or 7 from the free throw line.
And Maya Wong, you know, like, she is a product of Normal, Illinois. She was on the team last year, and everyone was really excited, or at least I know I was, to see what she could provide to the team last year. But because of where the women's program was at, there wasn't a whole lot of space for her on the on that roster. Now she had the most minutes out of anyone last night, and so she is getting the chance to facilitate that offense, and we're really getting to see what an offense run by Maya Wong looks like. And it's really fun to watch because you have Juju Redmond, who's an automatic bucket. You have Mary Crompton, who can hit from deep. And then you have a couple players who have size. And Maya Wong is able to see the floor, space it out, and find those opportunities.
And I think Wong is just a player that, I mean, people wanted to originally make the comparison to Mary Crompton with her, but I think she just has elements to her game that we haven't seen from a player on this Redbird team under Coach Gillespie. She could be that player that they could run the offense through for years to come. And she just plays, looks way more confident this season than I think she was last year. You saw last year, she kind of shied away from some shots or from driving towards the baseline. But last night, playing against a Big Ten team,
she was
running through players. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're talking also about Mary Crompton, and she didn't have any points until that fourth quarter, where she only put up 5 points in that one. She had that three-pointer and then got to the free throw line. But that's a big thing for Illinois State when you have your best shooter only take two attempts before the fourth quarter from beyond the arc, and she didn't make any of those. So I think Purdue is really focusing in and keen on Mary Crompton and everything, but it's a big thing when your best player, or at least one of your best scorers and shooters, isn't putting up the numbers that you need to take down a Big Ten team.
And that's a weird thing that I don't know whether maybe it was Coach Gillespie's game plan where she wanted maybe a couple more of those more versatile slasher type scorers to have the ball more, or if Mary Crompton was just getting D'd up. But like you said, Joe, it's Mary Crompton is one of the most efficient scorers in the Valley, and she was what, third in 3-point percentage in the NCAA last year, something like that. You have one of the best shooters in the country on your team. You have to be able to game plan spots for her to take shots in open space. And like you can do that. You can run screens. You can get her open. I just think she needs to be more involved, because you saw the Birds, like you said, Leo, the Birds were down 5, 2 quick threes. That changes the entire scope of the game.
And being at the game, it was Cassidy Harden for Purdue. She's one of the best three-point shooters, too. She has over 80% of her buckets in her career come from behind the three-point line, and she only put up 6 points. So it was a little disappointing to see those two not go like right back at each other throughout the night, because that could have been a really fun one to watch. But I guess just both of them weren't really on their night that time.
But, I mean, that's how defensive basketball works. For the Redbirds, who have been buttering their bread with their defense really under Coach Gillespie for so many years, is you want to take away the next team, your opponent's top players, and it turns into who's got the best second option or the best third option. I think that's what the Redbirds could take away from that, is, you know, you need that depth scoring. When Crompton can't get those buckets, or when Juju can't get it, that somebody else has to get them. I think that's something we will see, because the depth, I think, on this team is better than it was last year.
Definitely is.
And it'll just be fun to see how both these teams do in the coming weeks. We're going to have tons of coverage here of Redbird sports this weekend, and over break we'll have volleyball on Friday night, some football on Saturday morning, and then men's basketball Saturday night, and then we're going to run it back next weekend. Whenever the Redbirds will be playing in the MVC conference tournament, we'll have it here. So stick around for those. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jose Sandoval is going to join the show for his senior night tribute. You're listening on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Hey, this is Katie Weimerskirch, and you're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome back to The Red Zone. Leo Stoddard, Joey Dwyer, and Joe Kenny here. Now we're joined by Jose Sandoval. Jose is very selfish because he's leaving us a semester early, a December graduate. Although we're very proud of him, we wish we could have him around for another semester.
Man.
Jose, how are you feeling here going into your last couple weeks of your collegiate academic career here?
I mean, truthfully, it hasn't really hit me yet, to be honest. I don't know what it is. I guess I've been kind of waiting for this moment for a long time to kind of be done with school. You know what I mean?
Like, are you excited? Like,
I'm so excited because of the fact that I hate school. You know, like, for me personally, you know, like, I always tell people too, you know, if you're not built for school, then you're not built for it. You know, maybe trade school's for you, or maybe just none of that's for you. But I know for me, like, I'm done with homework, and most of the stuff I learn has been down here. Has been, like, through WZND and through, like, other, like, Redbird Productions too, you know?
So, all right, so, Jose, we got to ask the tough questions first. As we may or may not have talked about on the show already, we had a rec basketball team in the news and sports department here at ZND.
We went
1-2-1, lost a heartbreaker in the last game that knocked us out of playoff contention. And Jose, you are the starting point guard for this team, but reports are coming out. Right. There's people saying that
this breaking
that maybe this isn't breaking. This okay. is just this has been in the basketball sphere for a little while.
Okay.
That you had a particularly selfish effort in the last game of the season and maybe got a little bit of a hero complex and cost the team the game. I just want to know if you had any comments.
You know, let me just tell you this real quick. The pick and roll stuff that we got together, that was all on me.
That was clean.
Let me just throw that. It was definitely on me. But no, man, I mean, I'm a pass first guy.
You are.
So taking things back, take a step back here, just to start things off here, because we asked our seniors last semester about this, because I'm always interested in hearing how people ended up here, because I'd say everybody's college experience is a little different. What brought you to Illinois State and specifically WZND?
Honestly, I originally started as an English education major when I was at community college.
Really?
And then when I transferred over, I realized, one, I definitely won't have the GPA to keep up in the education program. Even though it's like a 3.0, I'm like, I know for a fact I'm not that type of student. So when I transferred over, I thought of something that, you know, I always loved, which is sports. So I switched over to a radio major literally as I was transferring over to ISU. And I came to ISU originally because they have a really great education program. And that's what ISU is actually known for, is our education. So that's how I landed here at ISU. In terms of WZND, I was in McHale's class. I forgot.
161.
I was sitting down. I heard Maritza talk about WZND, and then I, like, went up to her and, like, started talking to her. And then she took me back down here, and I talked to Steve, too. And the rest is history.
Yeah, so with that all being said, like, what was your first memory or, like, moment that you really – started like that you still go back to and look at, like your first memory here at WZND?
Oh gosh, man, that's a tough one. I actually still have a video of it, of me and I forgot which DJ it was. I still have a video of her and I just like in here, like just hanging out. Like, you know, the music's blasting and we're just like dancing in the studio. Like, that's the first memory I have. So yeah.
Okay, but how nervous were you for your first newscast then?
Yeah.
Because that's a major one that, I mean, everyone, I feel like you're like, oh my God, I'm doing this. It's going. Like, how nervous were you for your first one?
I was a little nervous because obviously, like, you guys have done it for a while. Like, you know, Leo, you know, you went to Brother Rice and you've been doing this for a while. Joey, you too, you know, coming in, you know, it's just, you know, like, I was completely nervous because this was out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But once I did it, I was like, okay, like, yeah, I got this.
And obviously, we spend so much time down here. Like whether we're prepping for the show or we got other new stuff to do, or if I'm doing production stuff or you're doing UTA stuff, you work at the front desk. We're all down here so often that you really just spend so much time. So there's so many memories, but what's one of your favorites? Like when somebody asks you, oh, you know, what do you like about ZND, or what's one of your favorite memories? What's your go-to?
My go-to is just news and sports, the news and sports department. At the end of the day, really, a lot of the things that brighten up my days, at least most of the time, was coming down here, hanging out with you guys, honestly. And that's the truth of it. That, honestly, like, coming down here, it's just the comfort zone, like, the friendship that we all built. Like, we're not so selfish. Like, it's so selfless because we all want each other to be better.
Right.
That's the one thing I've always loved about being in that room is we looked out for each other.
And you've worn a lot of different hats here at WZND. You've done news and sports. You were a DJ. You've hosted Wake Up Normal. Joey just said you're a university teaching assistant here. By doing all that, what have you learned either just about yourself or about just some advice you learned from doing so much at the station, being so versatile?
I learned literally just be versatile. Learn everything. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. And honestly, along the way, you can have effect on other people's lives too, and build a circle, a group of people around you who want you to do better. And that's definitely, you know, the best advice I can give to everybody. So, like, I myself, you know, I did UTA. I'm a UTA right now. News and sports. Was a DJ, but I did a lot of remote stuff before COVID hit. And then I decided to step in and doing Redbird production. So, like, I do some camera work every now and then.
Yeah.
Like, I want to learn every aspect
right.
of what we do and what we want to do for a living. At the same time, like, when I have a group of circle, which, you know, includes you guys in the room, also Blake's also in the room as well, Maritza, Cammy, you know, like, that's honestly, you know, the circle, the group of friends that you want around you who help you become better. And that's what you want. You want people around you to help you be better.
Mm-hmm. And Leo was talking how much stuff you've done here. I mean, beats, stories, Biv, and everything like that. So what's your favorite story or beat or just rap that you've produced here at Z&D then?
That's a tough one. Honestly, I love the fact that I was able to cover women's sports here. Specifically women's basketball. Before COVID hit, I genuinely thought they were going to make the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
That one still gets me a little bit. And then covering women's soccer the past two seasons, I think being able to talk to athletes, you know, especially women's sports itself is not really talked about that much, and they're not regarded in the same spotlight as men's sports. And, you know, that's because of revenue. But at the same time, if you look at what the Sky just did this past, you know, when they won the championship, yeah, they had the fastest selling merchandise in a 24-hour span. And, you know, for me personally, like, I love doing the feature stories where I'm able to put, you know, athletes out there and be able to put their story out there. Because at the end of the day, we forget they're humans too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
They're humans. They go through stuff every single day just like we do. But I love the fact that I was able to build more of an appreciation towards women's sports.
And you mentioned that I have never met anyone in our field, like, either working professionally or coming up through ISU or other schools, who is quite as passionate about, like, covering women's sports and getting women's sports into the mainstream. And it's a very admirable thing about you, because it's, like you said, the revenue is not there yet for women's sports. So there's not as much money involved when you think of covering it press-wise. But what motivated you to want to take that route in kind of illuminating women's sports?
First, it was just kind of just to get a beat. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie about it. It was just to get a beat. But then once you, like, start talking to these athletes, and once you start figuring out the passion of it, you know what I mean? Like, I started watching more WNBA, started watching more National Women's Soccer League games, started watching more women's volleyball. You know what I mean? Like, and I love volleyball itself. But anyways, I just built an appreciation for it just because of the fact that I was able to cover it. It was just by complete accident that I stumbled upon it. I just wanted something to cover every single week and something to do.
And then through those beats, you've done a great job of just doing a lot of different feature stories. Who's been someone, whether it's an athlete or a coach, whose story was one that you enjoyed getting to tell?
Honestly, I'm working on one right now. It's the Natalie Von Lowe's.
Okay.
That one I will for sure post, like, once we get back and everything's, like, right, functioning, and I'll have the wrap up. But her story, the fact that, you know, she tore her ACL like two or three times, and the fact that, you know, you keep coming back and you keep fighting, the perseverance of not just her as an athlete, but her as a person. You know what I mean? Like, you go through dark stages, you know, especially as an athlete. You know what I mean? When you go through so many injuries, you wonder if your career's over. But the fact that she kept coming back every single time and kept pushing through, you know, so I've been writing hers, but I definitely can't wait to release that and post it.
And so do you have a mentor that when you came to ISU, or like a professor that right away you kind of clicked and you've still been able to talk to and kind of just go through the way you've been able to live here? Because especially transferring in and everything, that's different than coming here for just 4 years in a row. So do you have someone that really just was able to help you get through your time here?
Honestly, again, the friends I made in news and sports. Yeah. So, you know, Leo, Joe, Joey, Blake, Maritza, Cammy, there's so many others in that room too. Hector, Eric Slizer,
guys,
Mikey,
yeah,
Fornelli, yeah, Keegan, like, you know, all of you guys made me feel at welcome and at home. And I know for a fact, whenever I need something, you guys are always there. And there's a difference between, like, you know, like, I know for a fact, you know, I have certain friends who are, like, you know, like, they're close, maybe just associates. And then there's other friends that you consider family, and I consider you guys family. And that's the whole difference between, you know, a lot of my friendships, and especially this one, is I don't consider you guys just friends from here. Like, I consider you guys family. And that's a whole different meaning to me.
So what's next for you, professionally and
next
personally?
For the Sandman.
Yeah, like, yeah. What's next for the Sandman?
The Sandman is still looking. Although I'm a radio major, I want to head into the journalism aspect. That's something else that I really appreciated and learned to grow to love during my time, because I mean, Maritza's really helped me out in terms of storytelling, and so has Leo. I know I've texted you at like 11 p.m. or like at midnight to post a story. You know what I mean? So Honestly, just looking right now, hopefully I'm able to cover sports or and even news as well. I mean, there's still so many things to do, so many stories to be told, but I know for a fact I want to stick with women's sports and hopefully be able to cover them professionally.
And so what's one piece of advice that you'd go back, you know, 2.5 years ago when you were going through that transfer process? Because I'm sure there were tons of emotions going through. What would be that one piece of advice you'd tell yourself, you know, in the fall of 2019 when you got here ahead of your journey?
Step out of your comfort zone. For me personally, I know for a fact that when I transferred here, like, it was like, all right, I just need to do what I need to do and get out of here. And like, I didn't really talk to that many people, make that many friends, but you guys know me here. Like, I'll say what's up to anybody down here.
You say, man, Jose, I don't know if there's anyone else in this whole entire station that says hi to every single person here. I mean, you're so loving. Yeah. I mean, you're so caring towards everyone, man. It's just like, and it's like, it's good. It's toxic in a good way. It's the good toxic way. It's the best feeling. I mean, every time you walk down here, no matter what's going on in your life, you're always making sure other people are happy, making sure you have other people smiling, and that's why I love you. Love so much about you.
Honestly, I love you guys, man. I love you guys, and that's a simple thing about it. I love y'all, and I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for a lot of you guys here. You guys make me better every single day. I strive to be better. Even when Fogel was here, when he was the volleyball beat reporter, he made me better. I wasn't even here. I was back at home, but I wanted to write so many stories, and he was so gifted writing. So was Mikey Fornelli too. Yeah. A lot of the guys on our team are. That motivates me. That makes me want to be better at what I do, and that comes from all of you guys. Leo, Joey, you guys with play by play, even Joe, like all of you guys, man, Blizzy, like. It honestly, you guys make me want to be better. You guys make me love what I do.
And that's such a beautiful thing about working down here and working with so many talented people is you really get to hone your craft while working with people who you can learn from and can learn from you. I think it's just a super special place, and I've never been around so many talented people. And then and
there's
like
no cat
and like
fun,
you're,
you know?
Yeah, it's so fun.
That's what's so important.
Like
about
Jose,
it, yeah.
Jose, your best talent, like Joe said it, like. I've never met anybody who attracts people. You're like a magnet, dude.
It's, I mean,
like,
look in the mirror.
proper line just like, right here to my
you
left.
You just like nobody has any beef with you ever. You just radiate these good vibes, and it's gonna be a different atmosphere.
I just remember like it started right away, right when I met him. Met him like a week later. It's like, oh yeah, let's go out and do something. And I just meet him, and just like, man, this guy's a cool dude.
The weird thing about it, these past few weeks, like if I've had like long drives. So like Mikey and I drove up to Loyola and we're driving back down. I was kind of reminiscing about how I met every one of you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to talk about it yet because I know for a fact eventually I will get emotional about it.
Yeah.
I've been reminiscing how I met each and every one of you.
Yeah. Save it for when we're off air.
Yeah. So make me cry right now.
But. Yeah, Jose, we appreciate you coming on so much.
Appreciate you guys.
We'll hear from you later for the pick six, but. Yeah. You know, mess with you, my boy.
You know,
Jose's big on
Jose. You know, straight up, like, I love you guys. I love this department.
I love you too, man.
And straight up, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now if it wasn't for you guys. You guys brighten up my day a lot. Every time I'm burnt out or every time I'm checked out, I come down here. You guys are here.
Yeah.
That puts me in a better mood. So
let's go.
Hope you guys know y'all do a lot for me, so.
You too, man.
We wish Jose the best of luck because he's done so much for us, so much for the WZND as a whole. And we know he's going to do big things. And we like him so much. So we're going to keep him around a little bit longer. He'll be gone for a segment, then he'll be back for the pick six. When we come back, we're going to have Blake Hornstein, and we're going to do the same thing with him. So stick around for that. You're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
I'm Dan Muller, basketball coach of your Illinois State Redbirds. And you're listening to the Red Zone only on 103.3 WZND.
We're back here on the Red Zone. Leo Stauher, Joey Dwyer, Joe Kennedy, another senior night interview. We only have two graduating seniors on news and sports this semester. Our second one is Mr. Blake Hornstein from Gurnee, Illinois. Blake is another one of our interns that's done four semesters here. He's done a variety of different things. He does some great work at TV10 too, is very involved in the news and sports department. So, Blake, we'll start you off the same way we started Jose here. How did you end up at Illinois State, specifically in the school of communication and all the different student media you've done?
It's a great question, Leo. I didn't have the traditional path here that a lot of people have had here at ISU. Go here out of high school 4 years. That wasn't me. I went to community college my first 2 years at a college of Lake County. Shout out to CLC. And and yeah, and then after that, it was time to decide, you know, to go off to college and study journalism, right? Mm-hmm. So I committed to the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, and I went there. And 3 days later, I came home. I was not ready to go off to school. I was not ready to be my own person. I just realized that very quickly, and I was there for the wrong reasons. I made a very, very difficult decision that a lot of people didn't agree with. They thought I should have given it a second chance, and I said, I don't belong here. I'm wasting my time. And I decided after a couple months of just contemplation that I was going to come here mainly because I had some comfort. I knew people, and I knew that it would at least be a fun time to come here and be a college kid. I really did not know very much about ZND, and I didn't know much about TV10. I thought I was, you know, just going to learn a little bit about journalism, have a good time, and boy,
yeah,
I learned a lot more than I thought I would. I did not know one thing about WZND, and I'm just blown away by the experience that I can now look back on because it's been one heck of a ride.
So did you go into journalism right away, even when you were going into Green Bay up there, or did you kind of change your major when you were coming to Illinois State?
The plan was always to get into journalism.
Journalism, okay.
Plan was always
so why get into journalism? What made you want to get into that role or major?
Well, originally in my early stages of my high school career, I wanted to be a graphic designer.
Ooh,
and I realized very
Blizzy,
quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, but I realized that I didn't want to be behind a computer all day.
Yeah.
And I loved sports, and I thought that if I was going to, you know, live my life to the fullest, I should try and pursue a career in sports and learn more about how to cover it and different ways I can be involved in it. And I just realized after watching, you know, Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless on television every day,
at each other.
Every day for years, that's something that I wanted to eventually do one day.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned how you had a brief stint at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, and it's going to come up eventually. Green Bay. Blake Hornstein, affectionately known to his friends as Blizzy or the Blizzard, is, without a doubt, the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan on the face of the earth. This man, he's wearing a Rodgers Return of the MVP shirt right now. It is a Star Wars ripoff. Honestly, that's a copyright violation. I'm talking to Disney right after this. But let's get into the Aaron Rodgers love a little bit, because you're from here's the thing.
Yeah, how did it
that was, I'm
yeah.
You're from Gurnee, Illinois, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, four times closer to Chicago than it is to Green Bay.
You're correct.
So what's the deal?
I'll take Blake's side really quick, because especially farther up north in Illinois, as you get closer to that Wisconsin border, there are a good amount of Packer fans. I think that's something that...
But he's not a Packers fan, though.
He's a Rodgers fan. That's fair enough, but I'd say it isn't unique up there. You probably find a lot more Packer fans up in northern Illinois than you do Bears fans.
I've told this story a few times now. I'll share it with you guys. In third grade, I was not much of a sports person. I was more of a computer games type of kid.
Okay.
And my third grade teacher, who I found, you know, a little attractive. Okay.
Third grade teacher, I found a little crush in third grade. Okay.
First and only teacher crush.
Joe, okay. look up in the music if we got half her teacher on there.
Okay. Woodland Elementary School. Okay. Third grade. Miss Clouser. Shout out to Miss Clouser.
Shout out to Miss Clouser.
Okay. Right.
Is she still Miss Clouser?
Let's keep the story rolling. Okay.
So was she wearing a Rodgers jersey?
Oh, my goodness. No. So, like, first or second day of class, we go around the room, right? And she's like, oh, I'm a huge Packers fan. Do we have any Packers fans in the room? And nobody raised their hand.
No way. This is how you became a Packers fan.
I'm an opportunist. I put that hand up.
Oh, no.
And from that moment forward, I decided to very casually follow the Green Bay Packers. And ever since then, when I decided to really watch sports, that was my team. Aaron Rodgers very quickly became my guy. And Joe, you mentioned that I am an Aaron Rodgers fan and not a Packers fan. I never really thought about choosing one side or the other. But when the Packers decided to replace the man that had done so much for them, or at least draft his replacement in Jordan Love, I felt like it was my obligation to support Aaron. And it was my obligation to pick a side. And if the Packers were going to move on from Aaron, I was going to move on from the Packers too. Now, that hasn't happened yet, obviously, but essentially when I say I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan, that's me saying if the Packers move on from him, I'm going to move on from the Packers too and follow my guy, because he has been my favorite athlete and my role model for most of my adult and late childhood life.
So did going to college in Green Bay, did that have anything to do with the Packers at all? Or did you like the program at first maybe up there? Or was it just, I want to be close to Aaron?
Well, that was a small part of it. I visited the campus. It's a beautiful campus. Yeah. It's beautiful.
I've been up there.
It's a beautiful campus. The Green Bay area is very nice. I went there and I was like, you know what? This looks like a place I could see myself. And
so now you're here.
So you talk about Aaron Rodgers moving on. There were a lot of rumors over the offseason that Aaron Rodgers was going to go out west to the Denver Broncos. But they already have their quarterback of the future. And actually, Blizz, you agree because we have a clip of you. This was a couple years ago.
Quick 7-second clip.
This was only last year, actually.
This was last year. The years all blur together. So last year, Blake comes on the Red Zone, and he had a pretty interesting take. Joe's got it queued up for us.
Here we go.
You know, every year we get on a hype train. Well, I'm getting on my hype horse. Denver's going to have the MVP this year. Drew Lock is going to break out.
So Drew Lock for MVP.
Oof.
You still feel that way, Blake?
Joey, we know what the MVP is.
Everyone has those bad takes.
You know what
man.
The MVP is.
Okay, yeah. So then why were you giving Drew Lock all the love last year?
Because, Joey, you got to think outside the box. And nobody thought Aaron was going to win the MVP last year for all intents and purposes. I just thought a guy, second-year player, you know, first season showed some flashes. Yeah. Second year, gets Noah Fant, Courtland Sutton, KJ Hamler. Vic Fangio on the defense, probably going to win some games. Pat Shurmur coaching the offense, took the Vikings to a 13-3 record in 2017. I thought, hey, let's take a swing for the fences. I struck out, but that's what it happens.
And let's be real. We've all had bad takes on the show before. I don't think that's, you know, unique to just Blake. All three of us have had some really bad takes, but you just have to take those. And you had your facts, and we only took a 7-second clip from that. But moving back to your time here, you kind of hit the ground running right when you got here. You got involved with ZND right away. You were involved with TV10. And then your first semester here, though, 8 weeks in, the COVID-19 pandemic happens. So you finally find the right fit. You finally get to start doing sports, and then it all shuts down. How was that like for you? Because you kind of just got into it, and then it all gets taken away from you.
That's a great question, and I had just done a color broadcast for women's basketball, and we had just scheduled our play-by-play for baseball, and I was going to get my chance to do that. I was really looking forward to it, telling my family members, like, hey, I'm going to get my chance to do play-by-play. Like, this is amazing. And it happened, and it really sucked for all of us. It'd be selfish for me to say that it was much worse for me than anybody else. I was robbed of those opportunities in the spring, and you guys were too, and in the fall, we were as well. We didn't have any sports to cover mostly. But in the spring, that's really when we started to make a lot of progress, at least for me, because having all those games, it felt pretty normal because every weekend you were calling a game. It just felt like a routine at that point, and it was easy to track my progress and see what things I could improve on. Mm-hmm. So the pandemic was definitely a hit, and wearing masks around the station, not being able to spend time down here,
last year,
I really didn't get to do that very much, and I miss that. But there's a lot of other things I got to do here that I'm more grateful for as opposed to being spiteful for.
Okay, and you were talking about the games you got to do. I mean, COVID obviously wiped some away. But do you have a favorite game that you've called here on WZND, or what do you think about that?
My favorite game was with my friend, Mr. Joe Kennedy.
Okay.
It was our football broadcast. Hey, it was our football broadcast together.
Yeah.
My first time doing play-by-play for football, and it was a blast.
It was.
I tell people, like, watching Aaron Rodgers play football is fun. Calling football on the air is amazing. It's
a feeling you don't get, I feel like.
No, you don't. And I got to work with you.
Yeah.
And you're an extremely, extremely talented color guy. You know, we pretended to be Tony Romo and Jim Nantz.
Here we go, Jim. We were doing that.
That was my favorite call. And I had a lot of other great calls.
Yeah.
You know, Joey and I had a call. And we had a football call and a softball call. Leo, I did not get to call a game with you. And I'm a little upset about that because I think very highly of you as an on-air talent, and Jose, we got to do some games together. But
Leo, if you want to take my spot on Saturday, because Blizzy and I are calling another game together, if you want to do color on the football game on Saturday.
Leo's got some business.
As much as I'd want to, I'll be miles away from here on Saturday.
He'll be back at the old BR. So,
But coming down to WZND, did you have a favorite a memory or something, or like first memory I actually want to go back to. I asked Jose the same question, or like first thing that you remember walking down in the basement of Fell Hall that's just stuck with you.
I got a story for you guys.
Oh, good. Oh, I didn't like the way that started.
I don't think Joey remembers this, I'm going to tell the story.
Here we go.
Is this appropriate to tell on air?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't necessarily – I do recall visiting WZND, and I thought it was kind of cool. But I think my first memory of interacting with somebody, not one of the directors at the time, would be when I – went up to Joey after a news and sports meeting, because how it works in radio is you pick two newscasts to do. Well, I didn't know what a newscast was because I'm a newbie. All right. I didn't know what I was doing. So I go up to Joey after our meeting and I say, Joey, I'm on the air from 9 to 11. Like, do I need to prepare for this or something? Am I going to be in there for 2 whole hours? Like, what's going on here, man? He's like, no, relax. We're good. You're on the air for like 5 minutes. Okay. And he probably was thinking like, who hired this guy? You know, so that was really my first memory. Joey, please feel free to chime in if you remember this at all.
I seriously do not remember that one bit. And I feel bad. I feel bad. I was such an integral part of you learning the system here. And I don't remember it. But I appreciate being part of your first memory for sure. And staying on the topic of memories, we have had so many good times. The news and sports team, we hang out all the time. It's with so many great people here. What is one of your favorite memories that you've made since you've been at ZND?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of great memories that I've had here, just from broadcasting games, from us being able to actually hang out together this semester. It's been a lot of fun to just go out and, you know, actually talk to each other for more than a couple of minutes. Right. And to enjoy each other's company, because last year we couldn't do that. I mean, it was almost like a shaming thing, too. It was like we couldn't go out and do anything. So for me this semester, I'd say my favorite memory in general is just spending time with you guys outside of the station, because it's really been a blessing to get to know you all on a different level.
And to like kind of wrap things up, one last question. You might not know what you're exactly doing after from college and everything, but what's the type of atmosphere you kind of want to work in, or the type of thing that you maybe want to go in after college?
Well, hey, well, laugh at me if you'd like, but I do have a dream one day. I'm not sure if I will ever get close to it, but my dream one day is to replace Colin Cowherd.
Oh.
And like I love talking about national sports on the radio, and I love just coming up with different theories and sharing them. That would, and obviously that's not going to be my first job out of college, is replacing Conco. But I do want to get into sports talk radio, kind of like what you guys do. And I hope my thought process right now is to hopefully join a radio station, and you know, maybe not cover sports at first, but maybe one day be able to have an hour on a Saturday to talk about sports and see where that goes.
And I think you definitely have enough bad sports takes to be the new Colin Cowherd. Except for your White Sox fandom, I'll give you that.
Okay. But you got the personality. I mean, have the takes. And some of your tweets, you got the hottest takes, and you would definitely be a great fit in that.
And if anyone knows Blake, they know he has one of the most intricate vocabularies when he's talking about sports or anything for that matter.
Boots on the ground.
There was one time in our meeting where, so Leo is running the sports meeting and the rest of us are just sitting there, and Packers are playing Monday Night Football.
Oh,
and Leo is already incensed by something else. Like
people were
being too loud.
You were being too loud.
I'm just a loud guy. I was excited, and Leo's trying to get through this meeting, and
Blake's in the corner, and
Leo's like steaming at me. He gives me a look. He's like, Joey, come on. And I was like, okay, I'll be quiet. And then so I'm just on Twitter trying to preoccupy myself. I see Blake from his burner Twitter account tweet. He goes, something about Aaron Rodgers, something about this is what you get for doubting Aaron Rodgers. You will pay for your sins.
It's like, I burst
out laughing, and Leo is so mad at me for interrupting the meeting again, but I could not stop laughing.
Oh, I'm glad Blake was the reason why that you're.
Yeah, no, and I showed
bus,
and I showed you after.
No one would understand.
Yeah, but oh my God, I was.
Boys, do we have one minute, or we got?
Yeah, of course.
Got a minute. Okay, well, listen, I I just want to say to you three, some of the most talented people that I've been around and people who I've learned so much from, I like to tell you guys just one thing that I will probably remember the most about you. Okay.
Oh, please.
So, all on the topic of Aaron Rodgers, Joey, I would say that you're the Aaron Rodgers of sports broadcasting. You're the best natural talent I have ever come across. Your ability to make play on words, use catchy one-liners at perfect times. You're so fluent. Your voice is incredible. I remember sitting in Com 180. I'm like, this guy's good. Who is this guy? Right? And that's you. So you're the Aaron Rodgers. You're the best. Are you the most accomplished? Maybe not, but you're definitely the best. And if somebody comes around 10 years from now and does what you do, I'm not going to call them better than you, like people do with Mahomes. And then with Leo, I would say, when I first got here, I didn't know how much people actually like knew about or liked sports as much as me. And I learned very quickly from Leo that like I knew nothing about sports because this guy just has the biggest knowledge base, the best takes. I mean, he really knows everything. And Leo, you humbled me very quickly during my time at C&D.
I don't think trying to do that.
You did it by being
a scary guy.
And Joe, for you, I would say it's your passion. I would say your passion for sports is unmatched. Your enthusiasm is incredible. And to see you and some of the work that you did this summer and overall, you put in the work, you love what you do. And I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone, but you, you're just so into this and I love it.
Yeah.
So
thank you, man. It means a lot.
Yeah.
It means a lot coming from you.
We appreciate you coming on, Blizz, and we appreciate all the work you've done. And you're a great friend to us and you're an even better journalist. So it's going to be really fun to see where you end up after here. And you know that if we play a Fell Hall World Series in the spring, we're always looking for an umpire. Yeah. And so we want the worst one in the biz.
And Blake, it's crazy that you've made such this impression on us in just 4 semesters, considering that, you know, we've been here for 4 years and that somebody like this has come in halfway through that and made that impression on us. So we thank you very much for everything you've done for us, for being part of the station, part of our group. And we just wish you the best of luck. Can't wait to see what you accomplish. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish off Jose and Blake the way they deserve to go out with the pick six. That's coming up next on the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Back on the Red Zone Senior Night Special, and it is time for the pick six. Things are getting close to the wire here as well as we're approaching the end of NFL season, or at least the end of it this semester, and the standings are getting tight. Joey, wrap our audience up real quick on how we play this game and what the standings are.
What's going on, audience? It's a long time no talk. Leo's so mad at me today. Okay, so anyway. So how we play this game, we pick 6 NFL games each week. And then we keep standings of who gets what right, who gets what wrong. And at the end of the season, which is approaching, I think this is our last week.
We'll do one more.
Okay, we'll do one more. Okay, so we got 2 more weeks.
After Thanksgiving.
Thank goodness, because then that means I'm not mathematically out. So we've got 2 weeks
you
left.
Are.
And it's getting close. So here are the standings. Our very own Joe Kennedy, a commanding 3-game lead, 38-22, 4-2 last week. Next, we have the guest, 35-25. They're 3 games back. That's going to be Blizzy and Jose.
2-4 last week. That's brutal for them.
Leo, tied up with the guest, 35-25. Steve Cease, a game back from them, 34-26. And I think that's all we got.
And Joey Dwyer's at 29-31, 2-4 last week, 9 games
back.
We didn't need to hear that. I don't think they need to hear
that. Not out
of
it, as he said.
They're not. I'm technically, if you went.
Well, yeah, I know,
Joey,
but I'm not.
Come on.
It's like impossible.
I'm mathematically still
in. Let's be real here, though. It's not happening. All right,
Leo, let's
start things off with the first game, the Thursday night game, coming up in just a little bit. The New England Patriots trailing to face the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going with the Patriots here. I'm just not a believer in the Falcons. The Pats have been rolling, have been looking better every week.
Yeah, this is a Patriots dub. They, like Leo said, they look really good. They looked really good last week. And the Falcons, I'm not a Falcons hater, but I'm not necessarily a Falcons believer either.
So it's only right that after the Patriots demolished the Browns and the Cowboys nearly shut out the Falcons, that both teams come into this game and the Falcons win. Because the NFL is weird. The dogs are barking this year. Let's go with the Falcons.
I don't know how you can go with that after Atlanta literally had one of the worst performances I've seen from any NFL team this year. Patriots defense is feeling it too now, kind of a little bit. And I think Mac Jones has proven that he's a pretty decent quarterback. So I'm going to the Patriots in this one.
And Steve Cease is going with the Falcons here, going against the grain a little bit there with Blake and Jose. For our next one,
There we go.
We're going with a Sunday game, the Baltimore Ravens at the Chicago Bears. I'm going to meatball it up as I've done the past few weeks. You guys can't say I'm a Bears hater, because especially if Lamar Jackson doesn't play, I think the Bears could take this one, because I am just not convinced by the Ravens one bit this year.
No, the Ravens are fraudulent. The Ravens are absolutely fraudulent. And you know what? The Bears may be a lot of things, but they are not frauds. And I think that this is going to be a Justin Fields coming out party this week. I'm really excited to see what the Bears can do. You know I'm picking the Bears. I picked them every game this year.
And that's part of the reason why you're in last place.
Let's chill out. Let's relax. I could have gone 5-1 all those other weeks.
3-6 on the Bears, though.
Hey, you know what? I don't mean to, you know, bask in your Packers fan glory, but we're going to go with the Ravens on this one.
Ooh.
Okay. I mean, this is going to be interesting. The Bears, all of a sudden, off a bye week, they had literally about six guys not practice today, which is concerning. Ravens also don't have Lamar Jackson kind of right now practicing. So I'm really still kind of debating right now in my mind which team I really want to pick, because teams have figured out Lamar Jackson a little bit compared to previous seasons. So I'm going to go with the Bears, though,
yes,
because
sir.
I got
to
go.
Took
and
a
I think
while
they
to get there, but I'm glad we did.
I think they can still beat him with Lamar out there. Justin Fields is doing good.
Steve Cease goes with the Ravens here for our next one. This will be an interesting one with the Cincinnati Bengals at the Las Vegas Raiders, a Sunday 3:05 game. I'm going with the Bengals here. I really like what Joe Burrow's been doing with that offense there. They've been fun to watch, so I think Cincy's got this one.
This is such a question mark, man. I have no idea who to pick, because both of these teams, any given week, could be one of the best teams in their division or one of the worst.
Right.
I think it's going to line up in the Raiders' favor this week. I just don't like the Bengals going out west and playing in Vegas. So I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Joey, I'm with you. This is an extremely tough game to pick, but the Bengals coming off of a bye, they just lost to the Jets' backup quarterback, who looked horrendous last Sunday. The Bengals have Joe Burrow, former number one pick, Ja'Marr Chase. They've had such an electric connection. I'm sure they'll have a good day against the Raiders secondary. Jose and I go with the Bengals.
Okay, you're going with the Bengals. I like the way you're talking about it and everything, but they're coming off the bye. Raiders have lost two straight games, and they're kind of in desperation mode now with everything that's gone on throughout the season in their organization. Like, now's the time, because in the AFC, a lot of things are open, especially AFC West, where the Chiefs just took advantage in that lead in the division, but I'm going to go with the Raiders in this one.
Steve Cease is going with the Bengals here, so a little split up on this one. That's the way we like it here. The next one, another Sunday game. We got the Dallas Cowboys at the Kansas City Chiefs. We've been talking about how we can't keep saying that the Chiefs are going to break through eventually, but I'm going to keep saying it. I think the Chiefs will have this one, because I just don't buy the Cowboys either, especially playing on the road. I think Mahomes can take care of this one.
Oh, another game where I disagree with Leo. Oh, wow.
Who's in third place? Who's in last place, Joey?
Come on. Third place?
Me and this guy in the
tied for second place,
me and
actually.
This guy in the parking lot after, I promise. No, but I really think the Cowboys are legit this season. Their defense has turned it up, and their offense is as potent as always. So I got to go with who them boys.
We're also going to take the Cowboys here. They have been carrying my fantasy team all year, and honestly, I haven't really checked it. I just started all the Cowboys starters, to be honest with you, and I drafted a lot of them. I know it was kind of a dumb move, but I did it anyways.
Jose's the Cowboys squad for our fantasy league. But, I mean, Leo, you were talking about it, how the team – Chiefs, are they finally going to come back? And last week they did. They finally did, and Mahomes looked great in that one, and I think they're going to keep it rolling, especially with the game at home. Cowboys are without maybe Tyron Smith at their tackle spot, and I think that's going to affect them there a little bit. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Glad you're on the same train as me, Joe. Steve Cease is also with us here, going with the Chiefs for our next one. This will be a weird one, as we got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the LA Chargers. These are two teams that have been up and down all season. I'm going with the Chargers here because they're a team I've liked. I think especially Pittsburgh with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, I'm avoiding that one. I think the Chargers should have this one, especially being the home team in that matchup.
Talking about weird matchups, man. The Chargers came in so hot. They looked so good, and they've just been an absolute snooze fest of late. But the Steelers are also not good. So it's just, this is a mind-boggling one for me. I'm going to pick the Chargers, but I want to preface it right now. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's tough.
You just have to pick someone in this
You
matchup.
Have to. It's awful.
I'm the same way, but when it comes down to it, Mason Rudolph may be one of the worst backups in the National Football League versus Justin Herbert. And despite their offense not taking more shots downfield, that's just a hard matchup for me to look past. Chargers coming off the loss to the Vikings, they're probably not happy. Steelers probably aren't happy either, but one team is Mason Rudolph, one is Justin Herbert. I'll go with the team that is Justin Herbert.
And for me, I've always Packers number one team I don't like, second team Steelers. I just don't like them as an organization, and Just don't like them at all, right, okay, guys? So I'm going with the Chargers. I have some opinions against the Steelers that I just don't like at all, so I'm going to the Chargers, even though LA has just not looked good at all the past 4 weeks.
Glad we got to hear that one from you, Joe. And Steve goes with the Chargers as well, so it's a clean sweep. Wrapping things up quickly for our last game, we'll go with the New York Giants at the Tampa Bay Bucks Monday night. I think this is an easy one for me. I'm going with the Bucks.
Yeah, this is the only pick we've had that's an absolute no-brainer. I think I speak for everybody. I'm going with the Bucks.
Honestly, we're going with the Bucks. That's a no-brainer.
And Mr. Kennedy?
Yeah, you got to go with the Bucks.
Right, easy money.
Steve Cease goes with the Bucks. Another sweep here. That'll just about do it for this show. It was our senior night show. We're going to go off the air for Thanksgiving break, but there's sweet games this week. So stay posted to our social medias for when those will be, because we'll have the volleyball conference tournament. And to thank Blake and Jose for their last show with us here, I'm going to let them close things off. So thanks a lot, guys. I'll catch you guys back up on Thanksgiving, or after Thanksgiving, though.
Thanks, Leo. It's been an absolute honor to be part of Redbird Nation, the pulse of Redbird Nation, if you will. I'm so grateful for all of you guys. You know who you are. And, you know, there's been such a great lineage of people that have come through WZND, and I'm just thankful to be one of them. Jose, I'm sure you feel the same way, brother.
Hey, you know what? Thank you to everyone. This is an amazing, don't forget, this is a nationally award-winning show, The Red Zone, on the pulse of Redbird Nation. I love being a Redbird. I'm thankful for every single thing. And as Mikey would say, happy Wednesday, birds. Although he says, he would say, like, oh, happy Thursday, birds. See, yeah, that's, I totally forgot what day it was, but, you know.
It's been incredible, and good luck to everyone that's coming back next semester. Joe, Leo, Joey, love y'all.
From Blizzy and the Sandman, we're out.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.